this recording, I mean, this Kalasudha Mataji will be enlightening us in the Gaur Katha, very nectarian Katha. She's doing very, very much. Thank you, Mataji, very much. Hare Krishna. Please take over the call.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Kaumudiki Mataji. And I thank all the online viewers. Thank you so much for joining in. Hare Krishna, we welcome you to day 6 of Sri Gaurakatha. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya, Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine. Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangur Langayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Vinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hayam Tatsat. Hare Krishna. Welcoming all of you again to Gaurakatha Day 6. So yesterday we just finished our Vrindavan Yatra. Srivan Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we went with him to South India, and then we went to the west coast of India, came back to Orissa, to Jagannath Puri for the Rath Yatra. And then after the Rath Yatra, after Mahaprabhu gave his supreme mercy, his loving, compassionate mercy to the most deserving soul, Maharaj Prataparudra, then Mahaprabhu went to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And after going to Vrindavan Dham, we heard how Mahaprabhu stayed there for some time. He discovered the places of Shyamakund and Sri Radhakund, and he used to stay at Imli Tala, where there is Mahaprabhu's Baithak even till today. So Mahaprabhu is now coming back to Jagannath Puri, and he is going to now spend the rest of his time in Jagannath Puri. So Mahaprabhu, of course, I do also want to mention that one of the times that Mahaprabhu, you know, he had quite a few failed attempts to Vrindavan, actually. And one time when Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan, in his one of his attempts to go to Vrindavan, he was, again, misdirected by the potency of Lord Nityananda. And Mahaprabhu, instead of Vrindavan going towards the west or the north, he actually went opposite direction. He went to Kanai Natshala. And Kanai Natshala is an extremely beautiful place, very, very beautiful place. And when Mahaprabhu was going to Kanai Natshala, there was one very ardent follower of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He was very devoted and very dedicated brahmachari, celibate monk of Lord Chaitanya. And he was so powerful that he was actually sitting in samadhi. He was meditating, and he could understand that Lord Chaitanya's tender lotus feet is walking on, you know, just muddy, little pebbled roads where the thorns are pricking the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And he could not tolerate that. So sitting in his meditation, it is said that this brahmachari, Nrisinghananda Brahmachari, he actually paved a beautiful path in his mind, which was, you know, it was filled with soft, lush grass. There were sweet-smelling roses and wild flowers along the way. There were kadamba trees, you know, huge kadamba trees on either side of the road, giving so much shade to Mahaprabhu that the sun, the scorching sun, would not touch his delicate body. So like this, in his meditation, Nrisinghananda Brahmachari is explained that he was paving the pathway for Mahaprabhu to walk. And Mahaprabhu was literally going in that same way. So we can understand that this is telepathy at a totally different level altogether. You know, it's on the transcendental level. This is how much the devotees were so attached to Gauranga Mahaprabhu that they could not even tolerate that Mahaprabhu is walking with his bare foot. He was going towards Kanai Natshala. So Kanai Natshala is actually the place where Mahaprabhu arrives there. It's a very, very beautiful place. And there, the Ganges is not like a river. Ganga Mata there, she appears like an ocean, because you cannot see the other side of the Ganges at Kanai Natshala. She appears like an ocean there. You can just see one of the sides and you can't see where she's ending. You can't see the other side of the bank of the Ganges. She's so huge, so beautiful, so, and it's like almost like a hill station. Like, you know, there's very beautiful you know, hills and the temple of, you know, there's a very, very beautiful temple that is situated on the hilltop. And Mahaprabhu is said to have visited this place. And there's a very beautiful tree over there. And that tree, when Mahaprabhu was sitting and chanting in separation from Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, she, you know, Mahaprabhu was experiencing extreme vipralambha, you know, service in separation from Krishna. At that time, Krishna himself, Vrajendra Nandana Shri Krishna, gave his beautiful darshan to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And seeing, you know, Krishna, so beautiful, a young, attractive cowherd boy, you know, he had yellow silken dhoti, and there was a beautiful, you know, waist belt. He had forest flower garland, and, you know, a little sash of ribbon here with the peacock feather, and Krishna's black, you know, curly hair along his lotus-like face. So beautiful Krishna was. And he was so enchantingly playing on his flute. So Mahaprabhu just ran towards this tree to embrace Krishna. But Krishna immediately disappeared. And Mahaprabhu embraced that tree, and that tree, by the embrace of Mahaprabhu, actually became Amar. It became eternal. So that tree which Mahaprabhu embraced is said to be there even till today. You know, fortunate souls, whoever can go to Kanai Natshala, we urge you to go there and hug that same tree. And it is said that if you hug the tree that Mahaprabhu embraced in loving separation from Krishna, we will also be infected with that same love of Krishna. So this is a very beautiful pastime of Mahaprabhu going, you know, to Kanai Natshala and him being infested with the darshan of Krishna. And whenever Mahaprabhu, after he came back from Kanai Natshala, he used to always just keep, you know, chanting in separation that, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Why can't I see Krishna? And in that separation, Mahaprabhu actually started staying in the home of Kashi Mishra in Jagannath Puri. Kashi Mishra's home came to be known as Gombhira. Gombhira means, literal meaning of the word Gombhira means very stern, very, you know, serious, very, you know, not having any hanky-panky business, you know, very serious mood. And that was exactly the mood that Mahaprabhu had whenever he would enter into his residence in Gombhira, into the house of Kashi Mishra. And this Gombhira was like, almost like a 5 to 6 minute walk from Jagannath temple, from the Sriji Mandir, and Mahaprabhu would stay here. Mahaprabhu's room if all of us, you know, who've seen Gumbhira, it is said that Gumbhira in that room Mahaprabhu stayed, it was not more than, I think it's around 8 by 6, you know, 8 feet by 6 feet. Or even, it could be even less, you know, 8 feet by maybe even 4 feet. Very, very small, very small. And Mahaprabhu would just shrivel up and just, you know, sit, and, you know, he would spend his nights at Gumbhira. And his nights would actually be that he would sit with Kashi Mishra. He would sit, you know, sometimes Swami Nityananda would come, Advaita Gosai would come, Rupa Sanatan would come sometimes to see Mahaprabhu. So all of these personalities, they would come and they would discuss deep, intense Krishna Katha. And Gumbhira means this mood of intensity, you know, the mood of density, you know, and Mahaprabhu would be in that very, very serious mood, very serious mood in Gumbhira. And in this Gumbhira, Mahaprabhu would come after sunset, and he would leave from Gumbhira at sunrise. So as soon as, you know, before sunrise, Mahaprabhu would leave from Gumbhira, and he would go and take his bath in the ocean, and then he would go for darshan at the temple of Lord Jagannath. You know, where Lord Chaitanya would stand at the temple of Lord Jagannath and take his darshan, it is explained that Mahaprabhu's body would have such great manifestation of ecstatic symptoms. It is said that Mahaprabhu would use these three fingers and he would hold it in this position, you know, like this position, against a wall. He would use it against, lean, you know, towards this wall like a pillar to see Lord Jagannath. And this is near the Garuda Stambha, you know, right across of Lord Jagannath. This behind the Garuda Stambha, you know, Lord Chaitanya would stand at this position and he would press the wall so that, you know, he could see Lord Jagannath very clearly. Because if you're standing straight from Garuda Stambha, you can only see Subhadra Devi and Balabhadra. But to see Jagannath, you have to lean. You have to lean and, you know, see from the corner like that. So Mahaprabhu, in order to balance himself, he used to use these three fingers and he would lean himself against that pillar and he would take darshan of the sweet, smiling face of Lord Jagannath. And that three fingers impression, you know, which is like almost like a triangle, just like that, that is there till today. You know, when you go behind that pillar from, you know, Garuda Stambha, if you press against those three, you know, three very sweet, very cute impressions of the fingers of Lord Chaitanya, you can see the sweet, smiling face of Lord Jagannath. And that pillar actually has great, great leelas. Mahaprabhu would always stand at this pillar and he would see Lord Jagannath. One day we know that there was so much rush at the Jagannath Mandir, everyone so eager to see the Lord of the Universe. So there was this old lady, very fragile old lady. She came and she could not see. She was, you know, so old, so fragile. She couldn't see Lord Jagannath. There were all these, you know, young and vibrant and energetic people in front of her. She couldn't even see Lord Jagannath. So what did she do? She actually, you know, the way Lord Chaitanya, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, was standing against this pillar, she thought that seeing the motionless form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, she thought that there is an extension of a golden pillar standing against this original stone pillar. So she effortlessly started climbing the transcendental body of Mahaprabhu, and she came and stood on the shoulder of Mahaprabhu, and she was going, standing on the shoulder of Mahaprabhu, she was saying, "Jai Jagannath," because she could see Jagannath very clearly. And all the devotees, They were pulling her down. What are you doing? You're standing on the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Mahaprabhu was extremely pleased. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased that he could at least facilitate this old Mata's desire for seeing Lord Jagannath. And he was completely, you know, above and beyond, because his ecstasy of seeing Jagannath, you know, it is said that when Jagannath would see Mahaprabhu, Jagannath would freeze with unblinking eyes. Jagannath would look at Mahaprabhu. And same with Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu would see Jagannath, Mahaprabhu would get frozen. Because as we were discussing yesterday, Jagannath is Krishna in the mood that he's separated from Srimati Radharani. He is Krishna experiencing the separation from Srimati Radharani. And here is Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is Srimati Radharani and is experiencing separation from Krishna. So these personalities, you know, when they would come face to face with each other, they would just freeze. So Mahaprabhu did not even realize, you know, externally, that this old lady had climbed up on his shoulder and was seeing Lord Jagannath. But this was, you know, some of the pastimes that was happening in Jagannath Puri temple with Mahaprabhu. And then it is explained, you know, in connection to the impressions that we were discussing. In the same line, you know, one time what happened is that, so as I've said, that these three finger impressions can be seen even till today at the pillar behind Garuda Stambha in the Jagannath temple. But similarly, when Lord Jagannath, you know, after taking his annual bath in front of everybody, the Snan Yatra ceremony, we all know that Jagannath manifests the leela of him becoming sick. He just gets so sick that he does not give darshan to anybody for 2 weeks. 15 days he is closed and nobody can get to see him. So Mahaprabhu would feel such extreme separation from Jagannath that he could not tolerate it. So what he would do is that he would run 14 kilometers towards, you know, towards the other side of Jagannath Puri, and he would just run to that place called as Brahmagiri. Brahmagiri, this place is also known as Alarnath. And there's a very beautiful deity of Lord Narayan, the four-handed form of Lord Narayan. And Mahaprabhu, when he would see Lord Alarnath, at that time he would actually find Lord Alarnath to be non-different from Lord Jagannath. So he would come running to see this beautiful four-handed deity of Alarnath deity. And it is explained that when Mahaprabhu would, you know, experience such great, you know, ecstatic symptoms, he would manifest that he actually, when he one time came and offered his obeisances to Alarnath, the heat, the ecstatic heat coming out from Mahaprabhu's body melted a stone. A big boulder of stone, it just melted. And the entire bodily impression of Mahaprabhu from his head till the, you know, tip of his toe was impressed upon this big boulder of stone. And it is there till today, on the side of the deity of the temple of Alarnath. If we go there, we can see the melted stone carrying the impression, the bodily impression of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So beautiful. You can see the round, you know, just like Panchatattva we see in Mayapur, you know, when we see them during Abhishek, how Mahaprabhu looks. You know, Mahaprabhu has a round head, you know, such a round head he has. So this particular impression, where Mahaprabhu's bodily impression is, he actually has a round head. It's so beautiful, perfectly round shaped. And Mahaprabhu's hands can be seen, his, you know, the curvature of his body, his waist, his, you know, lower body, his lotus feet. You can see everything. The impressions are so deep, so clear. And, you know, it's great fortune to be able to actually see this impression of the body of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu at Alalnath. And this Alalnath deity of Lord Vishnu at Brahmagiri has a very special leela. It is said that this deity is even older than from before the time of Lord Jagannath he is being worshipped. And it is explained that Alalnath deity was worshipped by Lord Brahma himself. And that's why this place is called as Brahmagiri, means the mountain of Lord Brahma, where Brahma himself, you know, installed this particular four-armed deity of Lord Narayan. And by the instructions of Lord Narayan, this deity was installed by Lord Brahma himself. And it is explained that Lord Narayan was very specific that what each of his four hands should hold, what, you know, he said that I should be dressed in yellow silken garments, I should have a kostubha mani, I should have a blue sapphire, you know, anointing me, and then I should be dressed with nice sandalwood and kesar paste, saffron paste, and I should carry the, you know, Shankha Chakra Gada Padma in my four hands. I should always have a nice blue lotus with me. And I should be carved from one single block of stone. So this Alalnath deity, just like our Ugarstan Unarsingadev deity in Mayapur, he was carved also from one big boulder of living stone. And similarly, this Alalnath deity was also carved from one boulder of living stone. A stone is considered to be living when this stone-eating insect, there's a particular insect that eats stone. It's called Vajrakita. And this Vajrakita is, you know, it enters through one side of the stone and making a, you know, pipeline through the entire body of the stone, it passes out through the other side. So there's a small little tunnel, you know, in the hollow, in the entire body of the stone. And such a stone is called a living stone. So Lord Nrsingadev had, you know, Mayapur Nrsingadev is carved from one piece of such a living stone. And this Alalnath deity of Lord Narayan is also carved from one boulder of stone from a living stone. A very special deity. And it is explained that the reason why he was given the name Alalnath or Alaranath was because at one point the worship of this Alalnath deity was handed over to some Sri Vaishnavas who are descendants of Ramanujacharya, and they came to Brahmagiri to worship this particular deity of Lord Narayan. And from that day onwards, this deity actually started getting known as, you know, Alarnath, the followers who were, you know, the Alvars, you know, basically the Alvars from the Sri Vaishnava community. They came and started worshipping Alarnath. So that's why they gave him the name Alarnath deity. And it is explained that one Brahmana family was taking care of, you know, all the seva and the puja of this particular deity. And the specialty of this deity was that he would be given, offered hot sweet rice every single day. And this hot sweet rice, when it was offered, one day the son, the little son of this Brahmana was asked to offer. And he forgot to, you know, like, make it a little cold. He forgot to do that. And it is said that when the deity, you know, just picked up the sweet rice to taste it, he burnt these two fingers. So this right hand of Lord Alalnath holds the Sudarshan Chakra. But it is a miracle that because he burnt these two fingers, it is said that the Sudarshan Chakra and these two fingers are not joined together. You can see a visible gap between the Sudarshan Chakra and these two fingers. It's a miracle. So, you know, Lord Alalnath is said to have burnt these two fingers while tasting the sweet rice so lovingly offered by this particular devotee. This very sweet pastime. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very attached to this deity of Alarnath. He would go every year at least minimum 10 days and he would spend in Brahmagiri in the association of Alarnath, you know, so to satisfy his separation from Lord Jagannath. So Mahaprabhu, every day in the morning, he would come and he would take darshan of Lord Jagannath, the Mangalarti darshan of Lord Jagannath. And then when the Lord would have his bathing ceremony, you know, during the bathing ceremony, those of us who have seen the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, it's a very sweet ceremony. Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, before they are bathed, they are given dantun. Dantun means to brush their teeth. And they are given neem twigs. Neem twigs, which, and that is their toothbrush, the neem twig. And the neem twig, you know, it is on the tip of the neem twig, it's cut apart like this, like that. So it gets, you know, like a brush. It becomes like a brush. And then Jagannath's toothpaste, is camphor. So that camphor is, you know, like put, you know, on top of this, like this cut apart, you know, tip of the neem twig, and then, you know, that is used as his toothpaste and his toothbrush, and Jagannath is, you know, he brushes his teeth, and then that toothbrush of Lord Jagannath would be given to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu would, you know, also brush his teeth with that while he would be given some Mahaprasad from Jagannath, and he would take that Mahaprasad and he would go straight to visit Srila Haridas Thakur. Srila Haridas Thakur would be in Jagannath Puri with Lord Chaitanya, and Haridas Thakur would never ever come to see Lord Jagannath, never come, because he came from a Mohammedan background, so he considered himself absolutely not qualified to even, you know, go in front of the temple of Lord Jagannath. So very far away from the Jagannath temple, he had selected a place for him, which was called as Siddha Bakul. So this Siddha Bakul place was, if you visit that place, it's such a sanctuary. You know, this is the Bhajan Kutir of Haridas Thakur, where Haridas Thakur, you know, the Nama Acharya, chanted 300,000 names of the holy names every single day. And Mahaprabhu, carrying some Mahaprasad and doing his dantun, he would come every day to this area, this Bhajan Kutir of Haridas Thakur, and both of the personalities would sit and chant and relish the holy names, both Haridas Thakur and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So although Gauranga Mahaprabhu would always think that my dear devotee Haridas, out of his genuine humility, he is not coming to see me as Lord Jagannath, so what? I, as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, will go and see him every day. So in that mood, Mahaprabhu would visit Haridas Thakur every single day in the morning. And one morning when he visited Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur was sitting, you know, outside his bhajan kutir, and he was chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Haridas Thakur was chanting his japa, and Mahaprabhu saw that Haridas Thakur is sitting under scorching sun, scorching heat. You know, it was summertime, it was the peak of summer, and the sun was really pouring down its anger, you know, it seemed like. So Haridas Thakur was, of course, you know, he was beyond this, you know, arrangement of the material circumstances. He was beyond that. He was transcendental. So this external circumstance didn't even seem to bother Haridas Thakur. But when Mahaprabhu arrived and he saw Haridas Thakur sitting with such genuine determination, genuine humility, genuine love, that Haridas Thakur was chanting the holy names, Mahaprabhu's heart just melted. And immediately the datun, the neem datun, the twig, neem twig of toothbrush of Lord Jagannath that was there with Lord Chaitanya, what he did, he just took that and he just planted it right behind Haridas Thakur. He just put it to the ground. And immediately from there, a little, you know, sprout came out. And within, you know, moments, everyone, in front of everyone's eyes, a big sapling came out. It grew, grew, grew. And it grew to a huge tree. And that tree became the Bokul tree. Bokul is actually a flower-bearing tree. It's very, very, very dear to Srimati Radharani. This Bokul is, it is like buttons, you know. It looks like buttons. And it's so beautiful and it's so fragrant that Srimati Radharani, it is said, it is mentioned in Vidarbha Madhava, that Srimati Radharani very carefully makes, you know, flower ornaments with this Bokul, and she offers it to Krishna. You know, she makes, you know, beautiful, you know, waist belt. She makes armlets, bracelets for Krishna. And because they're so tiny, they're so fragile, they look extremely gorgeous. You know, and the smell that comes, it is an intoxicating smell. This Bokul has a very, very sweet fragrance. So, everyone was shocked. And of course, you know, Srimati Radharani, for Srimati Radharani, the Sakhis, the Ashtasakhis, would very, very beautifully carve and make beautiful, intricate jewelry, flower ornaments for Srimati Radharani. And especially Srimati Radharani would wear Bokul earrings, it is mentioned. And she would wear a crown that is made of Bokul. She would wear a waist belt that is made of Bokul. Even she would, you know, wear very delicate ankle belts that were made out of these Bokul flowers. So like this, the Sakhis would make flower ornaments made out of this Bokul flower for Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani herself would make flower ornaments, you know, Bokul ornaments for Krishna. So it is such a transcendental arrangement by Mahaprabhu, materially not possible, inexplainable, that how, that when Mahaprabhu planted a neem twig, a Bokul tree manifested. How could that happen? Because it is said that Srimati Radharani, you know, she is, Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is, you know, extremely merciful to her devotees. So when she saw that her dear devotee, Haridas Thakur, is struggling so much in the heat, the motherly affection of Srimati Radharani could not tolerate it. So it was, you know, neem twig that she was, you know, Mahaprabhu was brushing his teeth with. But as soon as he placed it, her favorite tree of Bokul came, you know, manifested. Because Bokul is very dear to Srimati Radharani. So that Bokul tree manifested and it gave so much cooling shade to Haridas Thakur. And that's when this particular place of the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur came to be known till today as Siddha Bokul. Siddha means perfection, which means that sitting under the shade of this Bokul tree, Haridas Thakur achieved all perfection. So that is why this place is known as Siddha Bokul, where Mahaprabhu would spend at least, you know, till mid-morning, Mahaprabhu would spend with Haridas Thakur. They would, you know, Mahaprabhu would very lovingly offer the Mahaprasad that he received from Jagannath. And with great love, with great devotion, Haridas Thakur would honor that Mahaprasad given by the lotus hands of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And then they would relish the chanting of the holy names together. And then Mahaprabhu, during the mid-morning time, then he would just start running to see one of his very, very dear associates. And that was Gadadhar Prabhu. Sri Gadadhar Pandit, as we were mentioning a couple of days ago, last week actually, we were mentioning in the Katha, that in Krishna Leela, we used to see that how Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna were having, you know, the elders of the family, like Jatila Kutila, the mother-in-law and the sister-in-law of, you know, Srimati Radharani, and, you know, so many of the elders, they would always try to keep Radha and Krishna separated. It was only the cowherd boys, and it was the girlfriends of Radharani and the boyfriends of Sri Krishna that were trying to unite both of them, but the elders would always try to keep them away from each other. But in Gaura Leela, in Sri Chaitanya Leela, the elders would try to keep Gadadhar with Mahaprabhu. That is the transcendental difference between, you know, Gaura Leela and Krishna Leela. In Krishna Leela, they were, you know, the elders would try to keep them away, and in Gaura Leela, the elders would make excuses that Gadadhar, only you can control Mahaprabhu. Only you can take care of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And under the direct instructions of Srimati Sachi Mata, Gadadhar had actually come to take and be, sorry, come to be with Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And because Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, Gadadhar also accepted sannyas. So as soon as Gadadhar accepted sannyas, Mahaprabhu told him, "Hey Gadadhar, you became a sannyasi now. So now you should travel and preach. See, like how I am traveling, I am, you know, going around, you should also go around." So then Gadadhar said, No. I am Kshetra Sannyasi. That, you know, I have taken Kshetra Sannyas. Kshetra Sannyas means that one who does not, a sannyasi who chooses not to travel. They are bound to one particular Kshetra. So when Gadadhar actually had insisted that, you know, Mahaprabhu would take him to Vrindavan, you know, when Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan, after, you know, the Rath Yatra, when Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan, Gadadhar was insisting that you have to take me. And then Mahaprabhu said, "But Gadadhar, you are a Kshatra Sannyasi. How can you come with me?" And then Gadadhar said, "Mahaprabhu, you are my Kshatra. That wherever you are, that is Kshatra for me. So, you know, I don't care. I don't have to be bound in Jagannath Puri. That you are the Kshatra for me. So wherever you are, that is my Kshatra. So I be with you, then I am still not breaking my vow that I have taken a Kshatra Sannyasi." But of course, Mahaprabhu convinced Gadadhar and, you know, asked him to stay back in Jagannath Puri. And Gadadhar did that. He actually stayed back in Jagannath Puri. And Gadadhar used to worship this very beautiful deity of Tota Gopinath. Tota means garden. And he was a very beautiful, tall deity, black marble deity of Gopinath, of Krishna, and he's got an amazing Tribhanga form. You know, the form of Gopinath is actual Tribhanga. You can see the threefold bending form of Gopinath. And because the area where Gadadhar would stay, because of the potency of Gadadhar, that place had transformed like Vrindavan. It had become like Vrindavan. So, you know, this place, the bhajan kutir of Gadadhar in the temple of Gopinath, and surrounding that temple was a very, very beautiful garden. And in that garden, Gadadhar would grow plenty of, you know, very nice flowers. He would grow very nice fruits, vegetables that he would collect and then offer and cook and offer to his beloved deity of Gopinath. So that's why, because Gopinath was residing in the midst of this transcendental garden, he came to be known as Tota Gopinath. So Mahaprabhu every day during the mid-morning, after he would see Haridas Thakur at Siddha Gokul, Mahaprabhu would run to see Golaghar and to see Tota Gopinath. And right across from Tota Gopinath, right opposite Tota Gopinath, there used to be, and there still is, very, very beautiful, you know, heaps and heaps of sand, you know, like from the beach, from the ocean, you know, the sand, they made like little sand dunes, you know, it's just been there. And Mahaprabhu, whenever he would run and come from Siddha Bakul, whenever he would see those sand dunes, he would run like a madman. He would run towards those sand dunes and say, Giriraj! He would just run towards those sand dunes and embrace those sand dunes and just cry tears of ecstasy and say, Giri Govardhan Lal, I am missing you. You are here, Giriraj Govardhan. So Mahaprabhu would embrace those sand dunes, remembering his dearmost devotee, Sri Giriraj Govardhan Lal Ki Jai. So like this, then Mahaprabhu would embrace those sand dunes, he would do some leelas there, he would remember Sri Giriraj, and then he would come and visit Tota Gopinath. And then, in the association of Sri Gadadhar, Mahaprabhu would read Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhar. Gadadhar was an expert narrator, and he would narrate so beautifully, he would narrate so mesmerizingly, Mahaprabhu would be stunned. He would just, you know, he would remain glued. Mahaprabhu would become so stunned hearing the ambrosial nectar flowing from the mouth of Gadadhar that Mahaprabhu would just keep listening and listening to the Bhagavad Katha given by Sri Gadadhar Prabhu. And Mahaprabhu would especially love to hear two specific pastimes from the Bhagavatam. One is the katha of Sri Dhruva Maharaj, and one is the katha of Sri Prahlad Maharaj. So these kathas Mahaprabhu would hear repeatedly again and again and again from the lotus mouth of Gadadhar. And especially the way Gadadhar would narrate these pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Charitra, that Mahaprabhu would become so attached and he would say, every time I hear these pastimes from you, Gadadhar, I get navanvarasa. I get newer and newer, you know, I relish it so much. I get newer and newer realizations every time I hear this katha from you. So please narrate this, you know, Prahlad katha and Dhruva katha for me again. So like this, Gadadhar and Mahaprabhu would relish listening and narrating kathas from Srimad Bhagavatam. And it would be lunchtime and Gadadhar would personally serve Mahaprabhu the Mahaprasad from Gopinath, which Gadadhar would have cooked with his own lotus hands. And then Mahaprabhu would continue listening to Bhagavat Katha the rest of the afternoon from Gadadhar. And then he would come back in the evening for the evening aarti of Lord Jagannath. And then when the sun was about to set, Mahaprabhu would return to his residence at Gumbhira. Now when Mahaprabhu would enter at Gumbhira, in Gumbhira, Gadadhar Prabhu was not allowed to set foot in. There's a very specific reason for that, that Mahaprabhu never allowed Gadadhar to come to Gumbhira. Because whenever Mahaprabhu would enter inside Gumbhira, as I said, that he would take on this very, very serious mood in separation from Krishna. You know, Radharani, in separation from Krishna. So if Gadadhar would come, then that is Srimati Radharani herself coming. So that would become a rasa bhanga. It would become, you know, a contradiction of the rasas. So Mahaprabhu told Gadadhar that you can never ever come to Gumbhira. And Gadadhar always respected that. He knew that why Mahaprabhu is not allowing Gadadhar to come to Gumbhira. So Gumbhira, Mahaprabhu would enter and from the mouth of Kashi Mishra, from the mouth of so many other senior of Mahaprabhu's parshads, Mahaprabhu would just continue to either chant holy names, or he would just, you know, immerse himself in hearing Krishna Katha. Very, very serious sadhana Mahaprabhu would render in Gumbhira. So days passed by like this, and 18 years of Mahaprabhu's glorious life, Mahaprabhu spent in Gumbhira, in Jagannath Puri. And it is said that one time, one day, when Mahaprabhu came to see Srila Haridas Thakur, at that time, he found Haridas to be extremely sick. And Haridas explains to Mahaprabhu that, "My dear Lord, I have a desire that I know that you are going to be winding up your pastimes very soon from this world. And before you do so, I want to leave. Looking at your lotus face, I want to leave from here because I cannot tolerate your separation. So my Lord, please give me that permission." So Mahaprabhu just embraced Haridas, and like this Mahaprabhu kept coming, and day by day when he would come, he would find that Haridas is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And one day when Mahaprabhu came to see Haridas Thakur, at that time he saw that Haridas Thakur was very, very sad, and he said that, "Mahaprabhu, I'm very sad today." Mahaprabhu said, "Why? Why, my dear Haridas, why are you sad?" He said that the oath that I had taken, that I will chant minimum 300,000 names of the Hare Krishna mantra every day, I am not able to fulfill that vow anymore. And Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Haridas, every pore of every limb of your body is transcendental and it is vibrating the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Anybody who is coming near to you can hear every pore of every limb of your body resounding the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra." So my dear Haridas, never at one point also think that you are not chanting, because every pore of your body is immersed in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then Haridas Thakur said that, "My dear Lord," you know, very, very powerful statement Haridas Thakur had actually made. He said that, "My dear Lord, you are like this golden lotus. And my eyes are like these two bumblebees. Please, just allow me to suck the nectar from your golden lotus-like face." And in this way, when Mahaprabhu was lovingly gazing at Sri Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur's lotus eyes, his bumblebee-like eyes, were fixed upon the lotus-like face of, you know, golden Mahaprabhu, at that time Haridas Thakur left his body. And his desire of leaving his body before Gauranga Mahaprabhu was fulfilled by Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself. He wanted to, you know, be able to leave his body while seeing the lotus face of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So as soon as Haridas Thakur left his body, Mahaprabhu picked up with his own two lotus hands, Mahaprabhu picked up the fragile, delicate body of Haridas Thakur, and he chanted and he chanted and he danced in ecstasy. And then there was a huge procession that, you know, they went in a huge procession to the ocean. In the ocean, Mahaprabhu himself bathed the transcendental body of Srila Haridas Thakur. And when he bathed the transcendental body of Haridas Thakur in the ocean, Mahaprabhu declared that, "Aaj theke samudra ek mahatirtho hoilo," which means that from today, I declare that this ocean has become a Mahatirtha. You know, generally we know that there are seven tirthas, you know, seven holy rivers. Gangecha, Yamunecha, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmade Sindhu Kaveri Jalesmin Sannadhin Kuru. So these are the seven rivers, holy rivers, and they are considered to be tirthas. That when we take bath in these holy rivers, it is said that it washes away all our, you know, negativity. All our sins get washed away. All of our negativity gets washed away. And after bathing the transcendental body of Haridas Thakur in the ocean, Mahaprabhu declared that this ocean is no longer just a tirtha. It became a mahatirtha. Aaj theke samudra ek mahatirtha hoilo. But it became a maha mahatirtha, a great source of, you know, purification. So till today, actually whenever we go to any ocean, because, you know, although Mahaprabhu washed the body of Haridas Thakur in the Bay of Bengal, that ocean, but all those oceans, you know, of the world, they are all connected. You know, Bay of Bengal flows into the Arabian Sea, then it flows into the Atlantic, it flows into the Pacific. So in this way, all the oceans are actually interconnected. The waters are mixing somehow or the other, because there's no boundary separating waters, right? So whenever we take a bath, whenever we go to any ocean, in any part of the world, please remember these transcendental words of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And before stepping in to frolic in the waters of the ocean, definitely, you know, take the waters of the ocean, throw upon your head and say that this is Mahatirtha. This is what Mahaprabhu has declared, that Haridas Thakur's body, the body of the Nama Acharya that Mahaprabhu has bathed, Mahaprabhu declared this ocean to become Mahatirtha. And of course, it is Mahatirtha. You know, we also understand that not just because of Haridas Thakur, of course, as Mahaprabhu declared that, but we also know that Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself would take bath in the ocean every single day. Every day Mahaprabhu would take bath in the ocean. And then after coming out of the ocean, bringing the body of Haridas Thakur from the ocean, Mahaprabhu dressed the body of Haridas Thakur in clean clothes, made, you know, beautiful tilak markings on all 13 parts of his body, put a beautiful garland around his neck, and then Mahaprabhu in his own hands, he actually, you know, gave samadhi to the body of Srila Haridas Thakur. That is why we see that the samadhi of Srila Haridas Thakur is very near to the ocean in Jagannath Puri, almost on the banks, on the shores of the ocean. The Haridas Thakur Samadhi Mandir is located till today. So Mahaprabhu, after he gave samadhi to the transcendental body of Srila Haridas Thakur, then Mahaprabhu, you know, declared that all the Vaishnavas will be given a huge feast in honor of Srila Haridas Thakur. And, you know, devotees cooked up huge feast, and all the sweetmeat shops around Puri were invited to offer all the sweets that they had from their shops they brought for this huge feast. And in this feast, Mahaprabhu made each and every devotee sit down, and Mahaprabhu personally served prasadam to each and every devotee in this feast, in honor of Srila Haridas Thakur. And Mahaprabhu that day was declaring that you should take akantha prasad. Akantha means till your throat. You should keep eating. Just keep eating Mahaprasad. So all the Mahaprasad from Jagannath Mandir and, you know, devotees cooking, and all of this was brought in, and Mahaprabhu personally served each and every Vaishnava. And then Mahaprabhu himself honored so much prasad that day. And this was the way that this divine personality, Srila Haridas Thakur, wound up his pastimes, as was his desire. He wound up his pastimes before the very presence of Sriman Gauranga Mahaprabhu. This is the nirjas of Srila Haridas Thakur, the disappearance of Sri Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Then Mahaprabhu continued his Leela in Jagannath Puri. And then, you know, like every day, as we were describing, Mahaprabhu would also take out his Sankirtan party. He would, you know, inspire each and every one to chant the holy names of Krishna. And then Mahaprabhu started experiencing huge separation from Krishna, unbearable separation from Krishna. And it is said that Mahaprabhu's servant at that time was Govinda. So Kashi Mishra and every other devotee, they had warned Govinda that when Mahaprabhu enters Gombhira, you should make sure that, Govinda, you never fall asleep. And don't let Mahaprabhu out of your sight. Always be with Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu had become uncontrollable. He would just leave. And he would just, you know, one time he just went into the ocean and just saying, where is Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? The fishermen brought him back, you know, caught him in the net. And, you know, he was just going on chanting, Hari, 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 because he just saw the beautiful golden form of Mahaprabhu. And he was infected, you know, with nonstop the name of Krishna was coming on his tongue. This was the effect of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu would just leave. It was impossible to control Mahaprabhu. So the devotees had given special service to Govinda that you have to make sure that you're always around. So one day, one night, one fateful night, Mahaprabhu put Govinda in deep nidra. And he opened the doors of Gombhira and he left. There are three reasons that are, three ways that are actually mentioned that Mahaprabhu is to have wound up his pastimes. And one is that he entered the temple of Lord Jagannath and never came out from there. The second is that he entered the ocean and he never came out from there. But the third reason is the one that we hear from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which mentions that Mahaprabhu actually came to Tota Gopinath early in the morning. Everyone was asleep. And he entered into the body of Tota Gopinath. And Mahaprabhu wound up his mortal pastime. So because Mahaprabhu entered the body of Tota Gopinath, it is said that in the right knee of Tota Gopinath, there is a crack. And that crack can be visible even till today. If you go during the Mangalarti time to take darshan of Tota Gopinath and you request the pujari lifts the dhoti of Tota Gopinath, who is now in a sitting position, because after the disappearance of Galadhar Prabhu, you know, Galadhar was, you know, he could not, after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, Galadhar also could not, you know, tolerate separation from Gauranga Mahaprabhu, so he also left. So, you know, the service of Tota Gopinath came to, you know, from generation to generation, it came to one devotee known as Mamu Thakur. So this Mamu Thakur, he was, you know, he was serving Gopinath from a very young age. And when he was serving Gopinath, when he grew old, he became so old. And so, you know, his body was like shriveled up and he could not, you know, stand up straight. And Gopinath is very tall. So to do the Shringar on Gopinath, he was not able to. He was like shriveled up like this. So then, you know, Gopinath said to Mamu Thakur that, you don't have to serve me, it's okay. Then Mamu Thakur said, no, no, this is my Nitya Seva. Till I am in this body, I will serve you every day. I will serve you. So then one day when Mamu Thakur came in the morning to do Mangalarti, he saw that Gopinath, who was standing, he sat down. So, you know, generally we had first heard actually that Gopinath sat down for Gadadhar Prabhu, but actually this was revealed to us by, you know, the pujaris in Tota Gopinath, and also by His Holiness Gauranga Prem Maharaj, did the research that, you know, Galadhar was not at all so old that Gopinath would have to sit down for him, because Galadhar also left, you know, soon after Mahaprabhu's departure, Galadhar also left. So he was very young. He was younger than Mahaprabhu. So 48 is the year that Mahaprabhu, you know, left and wrapped up his pastime. So Galadhar also was around that age when he wrapped up his pastimes. So at 48, no one gets that old that they can't stand up. But the descendants, not, you know, like the direct descendant of Galadhar, no, but, you know, the worship, you know, of the different Brahminical families that were taking care of Gopinath after Galadhar was this Mamu Thakur. And Mamu Thakur, it is mentioned that it was for Mamu Thakur that Gopinath sat down. So when we see Gopinath today, you will see him sitting in Padmasan. And he is, you know, but even if he's sitting down, he still looks so tall. You know, his body is so tall, so erect, he's sitting down. Beautiful deity of Gopinath. And one very sweet pastime that I wanted to mention, and I purposely didn't want to mention that before, because I didn't want to end our pastime with the wrapping up of Mahaprabhu's Leela, but I wanted to end with this very sweet pastime that one day, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, of course, was in Jagannath Puri, and one day, Lord Nityananda came to see Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He just showed up. And when he came straight to the house of Galadhar, Nityananda Prabhu. And Galadhar and Nityananda Prabhu, they saw each other, they, you know, embraced each other, and they said, Galadhar said, "Oh, Nityananda, how come you're here? You know, it's not the time of Rath Yatra, how come you came?" So Nitai said, "Oh, yes, Galadhar, I was just feeling separation from all of you, so I just thought I'll come and pay a visit. So that's why I came. And look what I have brought." And from his, you know, from his pack of things, Nityananda Prabhu took out a big, you know, like a stack of rice. And he said that this is some special rice that I got from East Bengal. You know, there were some devotees who came from East Bengal, from Bangladesh. And those devotees, they brought this Sugandhita Chal. Sugandhita means very, very nice, fragrant rice that they have brought this. And I thought that, you know, I don't want to have this Sugandhita rice all by myself. So that's why also I came to you, so that you, my dear Galadhar, you cook this Sugandhita Chal and make nice offering for Gopinath, and we will honor the Mahaprasad. Galadhar was so happy, and as soon as Nityananda gave that, you know, little, you know, bundle of rice to Galadhar, Galadhar was, you know, the aroma coming from that raw rice was so fragrant. Galadhar said, "Wow, this is really good rice." And Nityananda Prabhu said, "Yeah, I know. That's why I got it for Gopinath. So go and cook." So Galadhar, you know, he said, "Okay, I'll cook. Nitai, you go and take bath in the ocean, and by the time you come back, I will have the Mahaprasad ready. So you go and take bath and you come back." So Nitai said, okay, I'll go and I'll see Mahaprabhu also, and I'll go take bath and I'll come back. So then Galadhar cooked. And how did Galadhar cook? He made that rice preparation. Then he just picked up some, you know, green leafy vegetables, you know, some shak from his tota, from his garden. He just picked up some shak, and he also picked up some tamarind leaves. And these tamarind leaves, Galadhar would make a very special chutney for Gopinath, which was very, very dear to Gopinath. And Galadhar had a very special recipe how he would make chutney with these tamarind leaves. He would just take the tamarind leaves and he would just crush it in mortar and pestle, you know, you would just crush it. And tamarind leaves are very sour, very, very sour. So Gadadhar used to bring the water from the ocean to especially make this particular item. He would bring the salty water from the ocean and he would make it sit so that, you know, all the dirt would settle down, and he would take the, you know, filter water from the top of the, you know, ocean water. And with that ocean water, he would, you know, take this little, he would not make it a fine paste of this tamarind leaves, but it would be just crushed. And that he would just put it in his kadhai, you know, and put some, you know, these black cumin seeds, black jeera, he would put that, and then he would put this, you know, crushed tamarind leaves, and then he would put this ocean water. And the tamarind leaves are sour, the ocean water is salty, so he would not even put even a drop of salt in this preparation. And then when the water would boil, and then he would just put some date jaggery, some jaggery, he would add it into this so that it becomes a sweet and sour chutney. And this is very, very dear to Lord Gopinath. Gopinath's most favorite dish is this tetul patar chutney. Tetul means tamarind, pata means leaf, tetul patar chutney. Very dear to Gopinath. So Gadadhar, that day for the offering, he made this chutney, this tamarind leaf chutney, and he made this shak that he just, abuna shak. Abuna shak means, you know, not that he just sat and he, you know, carefully collected, you know, the leaves, the shak. He did not, he just picked up, you know, the wild leaves that were just growing in the garden. He just picked up those wild leaves. Abuna shak. He just picked those up and then he just made a very beautiful shak, you know, preparation. And he had made this very fragrant rice. He had cooked the rice and made very nice. And the rice was so nice. When it came out ready, each of the grains of the rice was one, you know, separate. And they appeared as if they were, you know, like white lotuses just blooming. So tender, so soft, and so fragrant. You know, when Gadadhar arranged this rice in the plate of Gopinath, that mound of rice on the plate of Gopinath appeared as if, you know, blooming lotuses, white lotuses. So fragrant, so tender, so delicate, and so fragile. And then he had the tamarind leaf chutney, and he had some shak, and he offered that, you know, simple, simple, sweet offering to Gopinath. And then, you know, he was waiting for Nityananda Ram to come back. And Nityananda Ram came back. And then Gopinath had, you know, already honored the bhoga. And so the Mahaprasad came out. And Gadadhar made a very beautiful, you know, sitting place for Nityananda Ram. And, you know, he was just starting to serve Nityananda Prabhu. And as soon as the first morsel of rice was served on the plate of Nityananda Ram, at that very moment, Gauranga Mahaprabhu walked in. Gauranga Mahaprabhu walked in and he said, this aroma from your cooking, Gadadhar, dragged me from Siddha Gokul and I came to you. And Mahaprabhu came and said, Nitair Ana Chaul. Gadadharer ranna, Gopinather Mahaprasad, tate ki amar kono bhag nei. Which means that the fragrant rice brought by Nityananda, the cooking of that rice by Gadadhar, and that rice being tasted by Gopinath, don't I have a little share in this Mahaprasad? Mahaprabhu asked like that, with genuine humility. And Nityananda Ram and Gadadhar were in ecstasy. They said, yes, Mahaprabhu, please come join us for Mahaprasad. And the three lords, they sat down and they relished each and every morsel that they were taking in. It was pure ambrosial nectar that they were eating and tasting the Mahaprasad, so lovingly cooked by Gadadhar, so lovingly eaten by Gopinath, and so lovingly brought, the raw materials brought by Lord Nityananda Ram. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he is non-different from Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He is, you know, Radha Krishna combined as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu's coming to us, you know, Mahaprabhu came from Goloka Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu's planet, you know, the place of Mahaprabhu's residence is in the topmost corner of Goloka Vrindavan Dham, called as Shweta Dvipa. That's where Gauranga Mahaprabhu resides. And because Mahaprabhu came from Goloka Vrindavan, when Mahaprabhu came, he just flung open the doors of Goloka Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu did not close the doors of Goloka Vrindavan behind him. So those doors of Goloka Vrindavan, by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, is open till today. That's why we have access. We know all of this, that if Gauranga Mahaprabhu would not be there, who would tell us about these confidential pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna if it was not for Gauranga Mahaprabhu? He is the one who brought to us this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is a mantra coming from Goloka Vrindavan. You know, as we said in the beginning of Gaurakatha, that Mahaprabhu came with the garland. He came with a garland. And what is that garland? The flowers of that garland are Krishna Prema. And that Krishna Prema flowers are strung on the thread of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The Mahamantra is the thread on which the flowers of Krishna Prema are strung. And Mahaprabhu is just garlanding without seeing any qualifications of whoever comes in front of him. Whether they deserve it, whether they desire it, not seeing anything, freely, just freely Mahaprabhu is giving this garland. He's just garlanding everybody with this Krishna Prema. That is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So as Sri Basu Ghosh always, you know, has written this very beautiful song, that if Gauranga Mahaprabhu would not come, what would happen to us?
Jodi Gauro na hoito, tobe ki hoito, kemone thori tam deho. রাধার মহিমা প্রেম রস সীমা জগতে জানাত কে যদি গৌর না হইত তবে কি হইত কেমনে ধরিতাম দেহ.
This is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That if Gauranga Mahaprabhu would not come, who would propagate the glories of Mahabhat Swarupini Srimati Radha Thakurani? How would we know what happens in Goloka Vrindavan? If Mahaprabhu would not come, how would we know? So this Kali Yuga, we are extremely fortunate that just 500 years ago Mahaprabhu appeared. Krishna himself came from Goloka Vrindavan, and those doors to Goloka Vrindavan are open for us till today. But it is up to us to realize that Goloka Vrindavan actually exists in the, you know, in the lotus feet, you know, the lotus feet of our spiritual masters, our Guru Vargas. That is Goloka Vrindavan. If we can seek shelter of the lotus feet of our spiritual masters, of our Guru Vargas, that is like seeking shelter of Goloka Vrindavan directly. Just like Gadadhar said to Mahaprabhu that you are my kshetra. Wherever you are, that is my kshetra, Mahaprabhu. So if we can say, for us to, you know, for us to even realize Goloka Vrindavan, we may not be at that level. And it is understandable. but the representative of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, whom we can see as our Guru Vargas, their lotus feet is none different from the holy dham, from Goloka Vrindavan. So if we can sincerely seek shelter at the lotus feet of our spiritual masters, then we are in Goloka Vrindavan. So today we will end here, and tomorrow, on the most auspicious appearance day of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we'll have a special katha. We will go on a virtual parikrama of Navadvip Dham, and there will be something very surprising in the end. I hope you all will like it. So today we will end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrind ki jai, Sriman Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Any questions, comments or reflections, we can take that now. Hare thank Krishna.
Thank you very much, Kala Sudha Mataji. Very, very wonderful nectar. Thank you for enlightening us. It's very sweet pastimes of Lord Gauranga. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kamadi.
I have one question.
Yes.
The tree at the Kala in Natashala, what kind of tree is it? Is it a Kadam? Is it a Kadam tree, a Malakri tree, or what kind of tree?
You know, very frankly, I don't remember.
No, okay.
I have seen that tree, but unfortunately, I don't remember what tree it is. It could be Kadamba, it could be Tamal. I think it was Tamal. Let me just find out and I will let you know.
Okay, thank you very much, Mataji. Very, very wonderful.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
I couldn't just keep away from the class. Thank you, Hare Krishna. If anybody has any questions, please go ahead. Thank you, Mataji.
It is a Tamal tree.
Tamal tree, okay. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It is a Tamal tree. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna Ji, Kala Sudha Mataji, Koti Koti Janvat Pranam. Mataji, you are explaining the Leelas so deeply. You are totally absorbed in that Leela, so that when Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking in your hand, so we just feel that Leela, that much potency in your class. And the Tota Gopinath story by Gopinath Mercy with Dr. Vishwarup Prabhuji in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, we are able to enter in Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. Mataji, I forgot one thing, that why there is a crack in Tota Gopinath?
Well, the crack in the knee symbolizes that Gauranga Mahaprabhu entered the body of Tota Gopinath. So,
yes, Mataji.
That is the crack that symbolizes that Mahaprabhu entered into the body of Tota Gopinath.
Pray for us that this year or next year able to enter in Sisi Jagannath Puri Dham.
Hare Krishna. Jagannath Puri Dham, Nilachal Dham, is called as Shankha Khetra. Shankha Khetra means that it is in the shape of a conch shell. And it is said that because of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that this Shankha Khetra, this Nilachal Dham, is actually a culmination of all the three dhams. Three dhams means of Vrindavan Dham, of Mayapur Dham, and Jagannath Puri Dham. So all the three dhams actually are culminating in Jagannath Puri, because it is said that in Madhurya Leela, you know, Vrindavan is Madhurya Leela. So in the area of Tota Gopinath is where Mahaprabhu will enjoy Madhurya Leela, you know, he would enjoy Brajaraj. You know, he would enjoy the Brajaraj pastime. And in the area, in the temple of Lord Jagannath, is where Mahaprabhu would enjoy Aishwarya Bhava. Aishwarya Bhava is, the Bhava of, of opulence. That is the Bhava of Jagannath Puri, is Aishwarya. And Mayapur's Bhava is Audarya. Audarya means magnanimous. So this magnanimous Bhava of Gauranga Mahaprabhu was all-pervading in Jagannath Puri, you know. So it's very special. Nilachal Dham is actually very special because it is said that this Aishwarya, Audarya, and Madhurya, all three rasas simultaneously exist in this particular Dham. So that's why Nilachal Dham is very, very special. Thank you.
Mataji, can you please sing that bhajan at present you sing before 5-10 minutes? Yadi gaur na hoy to.
Sure.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thank you. So I have a question online. Indu is asking this question. Could you please explain how to celebrate Gaur Purnima? Well, I'll give a little brief and tomorrow's class will explain it in detail. The appearance of any festival, the appearance or disappearance of any personality that we are celebrating, that personality is non-different from that particular day, you know. So tomorrow is the appearance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and we should pray to Gauranga Mahaprabhu that we can realize that this day, that tomorrow's day is non-different from him. It is him personified, Gauranga Mahaprabhu personified, is that particular day. So be always, you know, with the mindset of, you know, meditating on pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, chanting the holy names, associating with devotees, rendering services. So when we do all of that, the purpose of doing all of these is to the ultimate purpose, is to please Gauranga Mahaprabhu, so that Mahaprabhu chooses to make his permanent residence in the region of our heart. So that is the goal, that we are begging Mahaprabhu that he, you know, we are cleansing our heart through the chanting, we are cleansing our heart through association with devotees, through our different services, that Mahaprabhu would become very pleased with our sincerity and he would choose to make his permanent residence in the region of our heart. So that is the goal, that is the purpose, and that is the way that we can celebrate Gaur Purnima, that if we can invite the Lord to, you know, remember him, just like we will remember him tomorrow, that not just tomorrow, but we can remember the Lord every single day, every single moment of our life. That should be our prayer, that should be our aspiration. So this is just in brief, but we will talk about it in detail tomorrow. Any more questions? Okay, if there's no more questions, Vrindagopika Mataji, you want me to sing Jodi Gaur Na Hoy To?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. Okay, so if there's no more questions, may I go ahead and honor Mataji's request?
Yes, Mataji, please go ahead.
Thank you. So this song has been written by Shravasudev Ghosh.
যদি গৌর না হইত তবে কি হইত কেমনে ধরিতাম দেহ রাধার মহিমা প্রেম রস সীমা জগতে জানাত কে মধুর বৃন্দ
বিপিন মাধুরী প্রবেশ চাতুরিশ বড় যযবতী ভবের ভগতি সকুতি হইত যদি গৌর না হইত তবে কি হইত কেমনে ধরিতাম দেব গৌ গাও পুন গৌরাঙ্গের গুণ সরল করিয়াম এ ভব সাগরে এমন দয়া না দেখি এক জন যদি গৌর না হইত তবে কি হইত কেমনে ধরিতাম দেহ গৌরাঙ্গ বলিয়া নাগেন গলিয়া কেমনে ধরিল দেহ দেবাসুর হইয়া পাষাণ দিয়া কেমনে গড়িয়াছে যদি গৌর না হইত তবে কি হইত কেমনে ধরিতাম দেব রাধার মহিমা প্রেম রস সীমা জগতে জানা তোকে যদি গৌর না হইত তবে কি হইত কেমনে ধরিতাম দেহ
জয় শ্রী গৌরাঙ্গ মহাপ্রভু কি জয়
কি জয় থ্যাংক ইউ মাতাজি কোটি কোটি দণ্ডত প্রণাম টু ইউর সেবা ক্যান ইউ সিং সেপারেটলি সো ক্যান উই ক্যান সেভ ইট অ্যান্ড হিয়ার ইট অ্যাগেইন অ্যান্ড অ্যাগেইন
ডেফিনেটলি ট্রাই বাট অল অফ দ্য গৌরাঙ্গ মহাপ্রভুস লীলাস দ্যাট হ্যাজ বিন মেড অ্যাভেইলেবল টু আস ইজ বাই দ্য মার্সি অফ শ্রীলা প্রভুপাদ শ্রীলা প্রভুপাদ হ্যাজ গিভেন আস দিস ট্রান্সেন্ডেন্টাল নলেজ You know, transcendental sweetness of the pastimes of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So, if Prabhupada would not have come, how would we know about all of this? And there's a very beautiful song written by Srila Jayapataka Swami Guru Maharaj, Jodi Prabhupada Na Hoito. So, I'll just sing one stanza of, you know, this particular song, Jodi Prabhupada Na Hoito.
যদি প্রভুপাদ না হইত তবে কি হইত এই জীবন বহিত কিসে লিখাই গরের অপার করুণা কে দিত সকল দেশে যদি প্রভুপাদ না হইত তবে কি হইত এই জীবন রহিত কিসে
জয় শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কি জয় স্বামী গুরু মহারাজ কি জয় ইসকন বর্তমান গুরু বৃন্দ কি জয় হরে কৃষ্ণ
Thank you very much, Mataji, for your enlightening class. We are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association for tomorrow. It's very, very wonderful. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you very
Anybody
much.
Anybody has any questions?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji. It's not a question. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I was trying to figure out if I should have even mentioned it before, but, you know, I was especially appreciative of the fact that you went in such detail about Haridas Thakur and the Siddhapakhu tree pastime, because I have, you know, some, you know, attraction for, you know, Haridas Thakur and the Siddhapakhu tree. And so, you know, somebody had gone to Jagannath Puri and 2 days ago they gave me a gift of, you know, a big chunk of the Siddhapakhu tree and a tiny Lord Jagannath that was carved out of that tree. And so that was just 2 days ago. So to hear such in-depth pastime, you know, from you today, you know, it was like just 2 days later, it was like very special for me. So I just want to thank you very much for that.
Right. So whenever you look at that special gift from Siddhapakhu, please remember all of us and share that so we can also partake of that mercy, that special mercy you have got. Very fortunate, Mataji. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you.
Well, you just gave me an idea. Maybe I will try to, you know, I'm not technologically savvy, I will try to take a picture.
That would be wonderful.
And, it's so nice, too, that, you know, because of this chunk of the tree has some, like a natural deep groove, I can just, you know, put Lord Jagannath in that groove. He sits there so perfectly, you know. He sits there like that groove was made for him to sit there. And so that's how I have it arranged. So if I'm able to send the picture, that's what you will see.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you.
And thank you so much for that in-depth history of Haridas and the in-depth explanation of the chi. I really, really appreciated that.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anybody have any question, comment for Mataji? We can end the call here now. Mataji, is it okay with you?
Yes, please. Please go ahead.
Vanchakalpatarubhyasya kripasindhu keva cha patitanam